It's Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus Christ's entry in the city of Jerusalem, his triumphal entry in the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And in fact, this is the beginning, or it's the first day of the Passion Week, the week where Jesus Christ, our Savior, had to endure a lot of sufferings. So Jesus performed a lot of miracles, right? He healed the sick. He restored sight to the blind. He rose Lazarus and others from the dead. And still, brothers and sisters, this was not the reason why Jesus came into our world. The reason why Jesus came into our world was to suffer and to die for you and me, for all of us. John 12:27, he says, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason why I came." And I'm pretty sure we will hear more about that in the following week. Now, tonight, I want all of us to focus on Jesus. I want to look to Jesus through this special day of Palm Sunday. Together with you, I want to look at a few events that took place on that specific day, and I also want to remember a few things that Jesus said when he was entering the city of Jerusalem. And for that, I want to read out of the Word of God, and you are more than welcome to open up your Bibles with me, also to Luke chapter 19, and I will read the verses 37 to 48. I know it's a little bit a longer text, but it's not my word, it's the Word of God, so I think the longer, the better. Amen? Luke 19:37-48. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you." Then Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people selling animals for sacrifices. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be a house of prayer,' but you turned it into a den of thieves." After that, he taught daily in the temple. But the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders of the people began planning how to kill him. But they could think of nothing because all the people hung on every word he said. Amen. This passage here, and as well the other parallels to this passage, which we find in the other Gospels, I don't know, but it always gives me a shiver. It wakes this emotions in me when I hear it or when I read it, because it always gives me the feeling that this event just happened not too long ago. People were crowding, they admired and they praised Jesus for all the miracles he did. And by that time, it was not too long ago when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So I'm pretty sure that some of these people were, or this was the reason why some of these people were so enthusiastic. So the first thing I want to start tonight is, we'll find it in verse 41. So Luke 19:41, where he says, "But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep." Jesus began to cry when he came closer to the city of Jerusalem. And I thought a lot about it. What did he see when he came closer to the city? Why was he crying? What was he expecting to find there, to see there? And it was not like that. And I found such a moment, a very similar situation in Isaiah chapter 5, in the first four verses. "My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Now you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expect sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes?" And here in verse 4, we see his, or how surprised he was, yeah? "What more could I have done what I not did already? Why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes when I was expecting sweet grapes, when I was expecting good fruits?" And Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem with such an expectation. But he was disappointed, and he cried for the city of Jerusalem. And tonight I want to look at our church like we look to the city of Jerusalem. How much has God done for us? How much has God done for Emmanuel Church? So what do you think, brothers and sisters? What do you think he is expecting when he enters the city of Emmanuel Church? Do you think he will be happy and joyful? Or do you think he will have to cry again? He gave his life for Emmanuel Church. He gave his life for you and me and for all of us. You know what? He wants to present this church before God. And he wants to present this church as a glorious church, without a spot or a wrinkle or any other blemish, as we read in Ephesians 5. And I pray from the bottom of my heart tonight that the Spirit of God will fill this place, the city of Emmanuel Church. And I pray that when he enters this house, the city of Emmanuel Church, he will find people according to his expectations, people after God's own heart. Amen? A second thing that I want to point out tonight, we'll find it in verse 42 of our main text. "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace." I'm pretty sure that here he's not referring to material things, which for some people, they might bring you peace, fulfillment, peace of mind for a certain time, but that's not what he's meaning here. I'm pretty sure, and I think that here he is talking about our relationship with God and our relationship with Jesus. For example, our relationship with God. God is the source of peace, and he speaks through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace. And also Job 22:21, submit to God and you will have peace. Only God can give us perfect peace. Also our relationship, also our relationship with Jesus fills our heart with peace. And why is that? Simple. Because he is the prince of it. He is the prince of peace. Zechariah 9 verse 10 says that our king will bring peace to the nation. And our relationship with Jesus has to be every day more profound, deeper and deeper, because he filled us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of peace. Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, and peace. And we see in Acts 9:31 how the church enjoys peace. The city of Emmanuel Church, when he enters it, he shall not cry. And why is that? Because he will find peace and joy. Amen? Amen. And then a third thing that I want to talk about, verse 45. Jesus entered the temple of Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. He cried for the city. He talked to the people in the city. And notice also here, he entered the temple. And Jesus had this, I want to say habit, because in another passage we read, he entered as usual the temple. And I want to point that out because I want to show you how interested and how passionate he was about the temple, about the house of the Lord. And that's why we find him in the temple at the beginning of his ministry and also here almost at the end of his ministry. And I want to invite you to go with me back in time 3.5 years and to see what Jesus did there in the temple. I read 4 more verses. John 2:13-17. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, and turned over their tables. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered his prophecy from the scriptures: "Passion for God's house will consume me." And now 3.5 years later, in our main text, Luke 19:45-46, then Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people selling animals for sacrifices. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be a house of prayer,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." What can we learn from this attitude that Jesus had here for his temple, for the Father's house? Well, it shows us that he was not happy with these people, what they did in the temple. It shows us that the temple or the house of the Lord has a purpose. The house of the Lord has a very specific purpose defined by him, by God. First of all, God says, "It is my house." And then he says, "My house is a house of prayer." And he says this since ancient times. Isaiah 56:7, "I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept the burnt offerings and sacrifices, because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. For all nations, brothers and sisters, for the American nations, for the Romanian nations, there is no difference. Also for us, his house will be called a house of prayer. And this is where we are in right now, this place of worship. This is his house of prayer. And if this is his house of prayer, we come here and pray. The Bible tells us, never stop praying. Rugați-vă neîncetat. And sadly, I don't know, sometimes it seems that we pray less and less, right? Our prayers get shorter. I don't know, sometimes repetitive. Brothers and sisters, youth, prayer or praying is a huge privilege that we have. When we pray, we don't speak to a mayor, to a general, or not even to a president, no. When we pray, we speak to the creator of heaven and earth. We speak to the one who created us after his own image. Prayer makes us strong, brothers and sisters. And secondly, the temple, the house of the Lord, has also another purpose. The temple is the school of God. Here people can come and learn from him. Verse 47, he taught daily in the temple. And I want to read John 7, 14 to 16. Then midway through the festival, Jesus went to the temple and began to teach. The people were surprised when they heard him. How does he know so much when he hasn't been trained? They asked. So Jesus told them, my message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. The house of the Lord is the place where Jesus wants to tell us about God, about God's will. He wants to show us here the way, the path that we have to go. When 70 disciples left Jesus, Jesus turned to the remaining 12 and he asked them, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave too? And Peter answered him, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And he entrusted us also in this ministry, like the ones he entrusted in Ephesians 4, 11, 12. He also entrusted us to teach also in these days the people who come to the temple, to the Father's house. Listen to Acts 5:20. Go to the temple and give the people this message of life. Brothers and sisters, this place here has to be a house of prayer, and it has to be God's school where God wants to teach us. Because I tell you what, if this is not the purpose of this house, I want to ask you this. What do you think he will do when he enters this sanctuary? And this is not the purpose of this house. Do you think he has to make again a whip out of ropes like he did in John 2:15? Do you think that again he have to drive out people? Or again he have to turn over tables? I pray and I wish from the bottom of my heart, when Jesus Christ, our Savior, enters this house, that he will find everything and everybody after his will. But not only that, I want more. I want Jesus also to enter tonight into everybody's heart, like he enters a temple. Because listen to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? May God enter triumphal into everybody's heart tonight and restore everybody's heart tonight and bring light into everybody's heart through his teaching. The one who entered on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem and into the temple of Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, he did not change a bit. He is the same today, and he's present here tonight in his place, in his house. And I pray that he may never have to cry again because of us. And may he find full peace and joy here in the midst, here in the city of Emmanuel Church. And may he find here a house of prayer where the Bible, the Word of God, has always its place of honor. And everybody repeat after me when I say, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God bless you.